Thank you. I wondered if there were lights in here. I'd never seen it when they finally turned the lights up since they've rebuilt the chapel. This is encouraging, and it shines off the top of my head, too. Some of you are awake. That's encouraging, too. This morning, we're going to take a few moments to look at the book of Haggai, and you may want to turn there. And as you do, I thought I would share with you a little something that I picked up along the way. It's entitled Hymn 365. Now, I don't know what your hymn book is, and I'm not sure where this lands. But one Sunday morning, a minister was completing a sermon on drinking, or temperance, to use it properly. With great emphasis, he concluded the message, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river." With even greater emphasis, he said, "And if I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river." And then finally, shaking his fist in the air, he said, "And if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river." Sermon complete, he sat down. The song leader stood very cautiously and announced with a smile, "For our closing song, let us sing hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River?" You always want to be careful what your song leader has before you make those pronouncements. Just a word of suggestion. Well, this morning, hopefully we won't be at the river, but we are going to take a little look at the book of Haggai. For those of you who need a little help with it, if you'll turn to Matthew and then go through the Old Testament, just three books in, you'll come to Haggai, okay? And it's one of the smallest books in the Bible. It's interesting that as you begin to read this prophecy, something begins to jump out and gets a hold of you. 25 times there is a reference made in it to the word of the Lord or the Lord Almighty or declares the Lord. The book only has 2 chapters and 38 verses. Yet 25 times the reference is made to the word of the Lord or the Lord Almighty. Now Haggai was writing at a time that was very critical to the building of the temple. You see, 14 years earlier, they had started the project and stopped it and then began to build their own homes. And in the process of developing their own homes and living their own life, the altar and the floor of the temple was there, and apparently amongst the rubble, they continued whatever worship aspect there was, but the temple had not been completed. So 14 years later, Haggai comes on the scene and begins to encourage the people with this message. So it doesn't surprise me then that one of the first things you and I have to begin to pay attention to is that 25 times it refers to the word of the Lord Almighty says, declares the Lord, God is trying to get something through. And we notice as we go through the text that we see in the different places that wherever the name of the Lord is brought up, wherever the people are encouraged, they begin to follow through. So first of all, in looking at this, we have the principle of repetition. Why in 38 verses do you have to come back to God said 25 times? I like to think that God was concerned about His house, about worship, about doing it His way and doing it right. Now the interesting observation is the message goes to the two leaders, but then it goes to the 50,000 plus Jewish people who had returned 16 years earlier, and they all began to obey. There wasn't one negative complaint. Why so much repetition in a small prophetic book? Repetition drives home the importance that God said it. Repetition allows us to focus on what God wants us to remember. Now, why in 38 verses does God have to repeat it 25 times? The people needed to hear that God was speaking. If I have a concern today, when I go out and I meet different people, I've been fortunate in where my position is in the alumni office to travel with Dr. Cecil and to do a lot of alumni work. And as I go to a multitude of different churches, and I participated in quite a few here in the local area, the message seems to be moving further and further and further away from the content of the Word of God to something that the people will enjoy in order to come. Warning. Repetition, when God begins to do that, is important, and our response should be equally as important. But he doesn't stop there. The next thing that came to my mind is what you might refer to as proportion. And I noticed then that with the 25 times, why so many repetitions in a short book? And I began to address those and take a look at some of them. In the passage that we're going to look at today, beginning at verse 12 of Haggai chapter 1, we begin to notice that God has a message for the people, and he wants them to listen. He wants them to be very careful and to know exactly what it is he's saying. Then Zerubbabel, I'm at verse 12 of chapter 1. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. One of the first things I noticed in terms of the proportion is that God had to let them know he was in the middle of this. For 14 years, they had been paneling their houses. And we know from the research in the area that not only was the paneling along the walls, but it was on the ceiling of their homes. So they were living in very nice accommodations. But the house of God was in rubble. And our Lord was bringing them back to the basics. The first thing I want you to do is to worship me. To worship me in the right way. And when you do that, you will begin to see prosperity. Now we know from the text that they had been facing some difficulty. God didn't leave them alone. They would plant, and instead of 50 bushels, they were only getting 20. Whatever it was they attempted, they should have gotten this, and it was reduced. God was sending them a little bit of a warning. He was letting them know, be careful, be aware. And yet in the middle of that, it says for 14 years, they continued to amass for themselves what they wanted. Repetition drives home the importance of what God is saying. The message, I am the most important, signed God. A lot of people have told me and said, now if you go out saying that to the people at large in our country today, not many people are going to come. Good, that's fine. Because if they're coming into something that I have seen wherever I've traveled, that is watered down, that is displaced, that is misplaced, the 10 encouraging things about raising my children, signed God. Huh? You're going to spend 10 Sundays on it? Show me the scripture passages. Well, we don't want to go there too far. We just want to encourage the people. At what point do we begin to come back and to state, thus says the Lord? Listen, people, I'm not making stuff up and I'm not riding on a hobby horse. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Now, the third aspect that I want to move us into with the remainder of the time we have is the principle of priority. First of all, was the repetition. We know that the Lord our God, has been repeated 25 times. We know that there's a proportion of the Scripture that is devoted to that. And then third, the principle of priority. What does he talk about that is the important issue? Verse 12, the first part, obey. Well, we can't do that today. The obedience, not we've got to back off and we've got to run for 2 years. No. You need to hear what God has to say. The first thing is obedience. And for you and I, where we are at and what we're doing, when we read the Word of God, we obey it. And in obedience to that, and in obedience to God, and we go out and we minister, He begins to bless us. Oh, God says, I am with you. Obey me. 50,000 had come back 16 years earlier, and how many children they had, how many ever they were, they all obeyed, it said, and they all got together and they all began to build the house. They did what God wanted them to do so that the people could experience and know what God was doing. And stop building on their own lives and begin to build as God wanted them to. By the way, if you want to say amen, it's okay. I got enough Baptists in me, you know, stay with me. All right. Are you and I really hearing the Word of God today? Or are we putting God's Word through a cultural filter to make people feel good so that it's popular? Somebody said amen. Thank you. I was beginning to worry. I wasn't sure. That's the part that I'm kind of, ooh, today as I think about the different things and I look at it. Are we putting God's Word through a cultural filter to make people feel good? Or are we proclaiming what God says to us, what we know in our walk with God, and then in our obedience, they see God flowing through us? Not too long ago, I had a chance to hear several of you as students talking. And I heard some of the discussion, and this is not meant at any one particular individual, but the discussion was going along the line, I want to go overseas to find out what God is doing, to see what the people are doing. It's going to be sort of a get-together and interaction a little bit and to find out. And I listened to all this for about 10 minutes. I shouldn't have been that nosy. But I couldn't help it because, you see, when I've gone overseas and I've gone to Brazil and to Mexico, we had a specific goal in mind. We went there, we proclaimed the gospel, we began discipling people, we encountered some opposition, some very heavy opposition in Brazil, but we continued praying and continued the ministry, and we're afraid we were going to get locked up at one point, but we kept on doing what God wanted us. I was not there to find out what the people were going to say. I was being obedient to what God had asked and led us to do. So I want to make sure that as I go through this, I'm not skating out on thin ice, and I really know that I may skate out on it, but part of the application for you and I today, as we begin to think about where God wants us, is not what is going to feel good when we slide in there, but what is God calling you to? What is, thank you, somebody said amen, it won't hurt you, faculty. Anyway, that was pretty good, I ought to do that again. When God begins to move us, God begins to do something, the principle of priority and obeying Him is very, very important. They obeyed the voice of the Lord. Secondly, the message of the prophet they obeyed. There were two things in their obedience: the voice of the Lord and the message of the prophet, because he was speaking on God's behalf. How often do we need to hear it repeated what we should be doing, and then we obey it and we make our decision, we go forward? Being director of placement, I have a lot of people who walk through many, many different things to find out where God wants them. But one of the first priorities for you should be, is this where God wants me to go? Is this what God wants me to say? And I will obey. I will go, I will do it. And then the Lord declares, I am with you. I am with you. Today, the emphasis is to feel good, be happy, and come back. Feel good, be happy, and come back. If the church doesn't make you feel good, you're not happy, you won't come back. I got news for you. When you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, some decisions have to be made. And we can water it down for a few weeks, a few months, a few years, but at some point, the person has to know who Jesus Christ is and make a decision. What am I going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Wow, that's really what it's all about. And when we begin to give that clear message, feel good, be happy, come back, that's set to the side. And then the decision has to be made, what am I going to do with the Word of God who tells me about Jesus Christ? Why do we go to church? Because of excellent communicators? Because it's humorous, it's fun, it's funny, it feels good, or I felt good at church? The church is young, it's cutting edge, it's an emerging church. Young people flock to hear an exciting communicator. Or has the gospel of Jesus Christ been proclaimed? I don't think Paul, the apostle, if I understand, with his eye disorder and possibly his stature and possibly his beautiful hairdo, he probably looked a great deal like me. Did you all hear something? I thought I heard the faculty say amen. All right. He probably wasn't pretty to look at. But we have recorded in the New Testament message after message that God used him to record and pass on to us, that we could feed on the very Word of God, the message of God, and know what God wanted us to do. And I don't know about you, but when I sit down and I begin to go through the Word, and there's a prof up here that I have to say I owe a great deal to, Dr. Howard Hendricks, I still sit down and divide it up and go through and figure out, there were 25 times that in the book of Haggai it was said. Those are the kinds of things that we need to remember and to practice and to pass on, because from it we then walk with the God of the universe. Amen? Amen. Obeyed and then feared. To be afraid of God? Yeah. Oh, you do that with the people today, nobody will come to church. Well, maybe everyone needs to understand that when you're dealing with the God of the universe, our Lord Jesus Christ. I spent time with him this morning, and it was wonderful. But I also, last night, as I was reviewing some of the material, I was fearful recognizing who the God of the universe is, and in respect for that, prayed this morning for all of you, for the faculty, for others. And there was a very healthy balance that I love my Lord Jesus Christ. I also bow and worship before Him. He's not just my good old bud that we can hang out with. But there's a lot of that being taught today with the idea that you're going to bring everybody in. And I think part of the balance that you and I need to make sure that we are communicating is the God of the universe, whom I worship and I am fearful of, but the God that I embrace. And I know He embraces me. And I love Him. Amen? Repetition, proportion, the principle of priority. If you'll go to chapter 2, I want to give a concluding embrace to a few verses that might give us a little further thought about what God is trying to say to the Jewish people and say to us today. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. By the way, the reason why I keep reading all these names, this occurs three times in here. God repeated it, and not by chance. He wanted you to make sure that we all understood how He did this. It was the leaders who got a hold of it and the people together. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? And isn't that how so many of us begin in a ministry setting, or where we are in our spiritual walk, or what God is doing with us today at seminary? That's fine. It's the way we all start. It's the way we all should be. It's the way we should see things as God sees it. Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. Work. Because as you're strong in the Lord, you will accomplish what God wants in His way and His time. Amen? For I am with you. Now, let me put a little parenthesis in here, what this means that God is with you and me. There are many times when it feels like, it seems like, and it actually happens that everything is removed from underneath you. If they pull out one more plank, I'm just going to fall further, faster. And the last plank goes. That's okay. One of the things that we have to remember is that God is in control. And if I understand the word of God, but now be strong and work, for I am with you, it's okay. I don't know whether I'm going to splatter. I don't know whether He's going to catch me. I don't know if He's going to put any planks back in, but that's okay. Because how many of us have been there? And how many of us know that those things happen and God works it out? And we also can minister to other people who He puts in our path who just had the last plank pulled out. At least one person agrees. I'm getting somewhere. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Do not fear. And today, if there is one thing that could shatter everything that you have planned, everything that we all have planned, it can be the fear of, boys, this isn't like it used to be. Great, let's see what God wants to do. And let's join Him and let's begin to be obedient to Him. I don't know what the church is going to look like. It may not have pews. It may not have organs. It may not have pianos. It may not have whatever. That's fine. I've been out in the mission field enough times. We didn't have any of that stuff there, and they're still going to be in heaven. And that's part of understanding the book of Haggai, and understanding the three words of repetition, proportion, and priority. The repetition of God stating in here, "Thus says the Lord," I think was to help us see every time He said that, the content that came afterward is exactly what we needed to hear. The proportion of it is if you'll read everything that comes after, "Thus says the Lord," you have a direct message from God, and He says it over and over again. This is what the Lord Almighty says: "In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." Now, is he just repeating something and he should have dropped those five, "Thus says the Lord"? No. You see, after each one of those, you could take them as a devotion for each day and sit and meditate on it. "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." And for those of us who live in America, we really need to meditate on that. Some of us wish we had some silver and gold. I understand. Repetition, proportion, priority. Our Lord is a good God. He does not design any of what comes our way haphazardly. But I really believe, as we've gone through Haggai, a small portion of it, that He is about some great things. He hasn't changed, but the things that you and I would cling to and hold to, we need to reproportion them. We need to reprioritize them. And we need to say, "Lord, whatever you want, here am I."